Welcome to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith from Fort Worth, Texas. For more than three decades, Pastor Gary has been encouraging people to know, love, and serve God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better." This is the heart of true Christianity. When we know God, we will love Him, and when we love God, we will serve Him. Let's listen to today's message.
There is in the body of Christ today a total misunderstanding regarding the power of Satan, and because of this, many people give Satan more power than he actually possesses. Amen. I want to lay a foundation. I want to lay a foundation and try to help you understand how that we develop mindsets, paradigms. How many of you know that tradition is a very, very powerful tool? Jesus said, matter of fact, in the Gospels, he said, because of tradition, tradition makes the Word of God not to have any effect. He said that concerning the Pharisees. A lot of us don't even know what tradition is. Here's what tradition is. It is the product of the ideas and perceptions that have been repeated so frequently that they become as accepted as reality. And once this happens, once we start believing that something is true, it can become more important to us than the Word of God. It can become so important to us. Tradition is not something about which we are passive. I've been in this long enough to know that people are not passive about their traditions. Not at all. It is something that we will attempt to guard, to maintain, and defend. It is actually a part of who we are. We understand ourselves through our traditions. Therefore, we fight to preserve them. I've been doing a thing on Wednesday night regarding the human mind, renewing the mind. And as I began to get into studying the mind, I began to look at it not just from a theological dimension, but from a psychological and a physiological dimension as well. And I've discovered that many experts believe that when we accept a certain opinion, our mind starts working to prove that it is true. Okay? In fact, if we do not determine something to be false, we will continually expose ourselves to that idea or behavior, and in time, it will be determined that it is acceptable and factual. And this is the subtleness of deceit. This is not just something that happens in our emotions. Once we accept something as true, there is actually a neurological process begins in our brain to establish it as fact, that it alters our ability to perceive. See, here's what I'm trying to say. If we believe something to be true, our mind will seek to prove that it is true. And tradition begins the moment a new paradigm or mindset is formed. It is at that moment that we become blind to anything other than our point of view. The Pharisees are an example of this. The Pharisees heard the message of God's love and forgiveness, but they couldn't accept it because they believed in their opinion more than they believed the Word of God. They believed in their doctrine more than they believed the Word of God. And because they clung to their point of view, they could never see what the Scripture was really saying. Even though they heard Jesus preach time and time again, they could not accept his message because it contradicted their point of view and it contradicted their doctrine. Wow. Here's a verse, a couple of verses, and I wanted these to be on the screen, but they're not, so I'm just going to read them, and hopefully you'll hear what's in them. John 9, verse 40 and 41. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin." Let me paraphrase. Let me interpret. He had said to them, your problem is not that you're blind. Your problem is that you see. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains. Insisting that we see is the road to blindness and perdition. Once we accept something as a fact, it is acted upon without thought or questioning. I grew up in an old line Pentecostal church. And I can tell you from this platform things that we were taught that were now, as I look back, I cannot believe that we even accepted the idea at all, because they were not based in Scripture at all. But they were traditions. I remember driving, we used to live in Rockwall, and I remember driving from Rowlett to Rockwall, and there was a little Baptist church, and it had one of these little rented signs out front, and I'll never forget what it said. It said, "Religion is the traditions of men taught as doctrine." There's people in my church that believe 945 was a scriptural established fact to have Sunday school on Sunday morning. And when we changed it, they thought we were committing heresy. I mean, they thought that we had lost our minds. Because tradition is a powerful, powerful thing. You see, to understand anything, we must start from what we know to be fact. And there are many clearly established facts that we have about Satan and his fall. And we're going to be looking at these facts, because these facts must be our starting place. If we begin from an assumption, then we mistakenly use the scripture to prove our assumption. But if we begin with the facts, we come to a decision: are we going to accept the facts, or are we going to continue to believe what we have always believed? One of the rules I have in discovering truth is never start from the obscure. Start from the obvious, then see if the obscure supports it. Equally important is that it's better to know nothing than to assume something to be true. I want to say that again. It's better to know nothing than to assume something to be true. If we assume, we constantly place ourselves in a position to constantly prove and protect our assumption. And this usually leads to deception and ever-growing confusion and error. You see, one of the things that God wants us to have, I believe, is openness. I believe that openness is an essential quality for a student of the Word of God, to stay open to other to other possibilities makes one teachable. We know that the Word of God is absolute, but our understanding of the Word is not absolute. And I want to tell you, it may shock you, I've changed my mind about some things over the years. There's things I used to believe that I no longer believe, because I saw that it was different from what I thought it was. I want us to look at the scripture tonight to discover some absolutes about the devil. Let's see if we can find a starting place for understanding who he is, how he functions, and why he failed. Let's open our eyes so that we can see him as he is instead of as we assume him to be. One of my scriptures tonight is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. For to this end also I wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. But whom you forgive anything, I forgave also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ. Now here's the verse. In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. I love what the New Living Translation says. It says, so that Satan will not outsmart us. For we are familiar with his evil schemes. We know that pride was Satan's downfall. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
In 1 Timothy 3, Paul talks about the essential character traits for a person who functions in the office of a bishop. And I believe that these character traits, these qualities, need to be operative in the life of every believer. Verse 6 says, and not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. Now, I looked at this. The word condemnation has several meanings. One of the meanings can simply be decision. One of the meanings is decision. Although there could be other meanings, let's look at this word condemnation in this context. Condemnation is a decision. Are you with me? A person should not be a novice lest he get lifted up with pride and fall into the decision of the devil. The main issue is the role pride played in causing the devil to fall into condemnation. His pride determined the way he rationalized his decision. His decision brought about his fall. His present state of condemnation is the result of his pride. Let's look at verse 7. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Pride produces a warped paradigm that places me at the center of my reasoning process. Can I suggest to you that when we become the center of our reasoning process, we're in trouble? Hello? When we become the center of our reasoning process, then we can become very confused about the true issues and the consequences. Our reasoning is me-centered and not God-centered. It distorts our ability to see and make good decisions. Rather than Satan being the all-wise ruler we assume him to be, I want to tell you he is a maniac deceived and blinded by his pride. He doesn't see anything as it is. He sees everything through the eyes of pride. And through the eyes of pride, he is motivated to make every decision. He is so blinded that after having known God as only the angels know God, he thought he should be God. He thought that he could become God. So Satan's problem was pride. Now let me say some things about pride. Pride will always cause strife. Anytime you are in strife with someone or both of you are operating in pride. There's pride involved. Usually, all it takes for strife to leave a situation is for one person to stop walking in pride and start walking in love. That clears up the situation immediately. I want to read you Psalms 36, verse 11. Let not the foot of pride come upon me. What does that mean? That means that pride has a destructive force. News bulletin, church, pride is not passive. When you have pride in your life, you will find yourself coming against or attacking other people. You'll attack everyone that threatens your false sense of self, because pride is fueled by insecurity. It is the mask worn by those who have a faltering self-worth. Let me read you another verse. Psalm 73 and verse 6. Therefore, pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. We know that pride becomes violent. One characteristic we know about the devil is that violence was found in him. And pride, if it's left unchallenged, will bring one to violence. Satan fell because of pride. But I'm here to report to you tonight that Satan is inferior to man. How we see ourselves in relation to God affects how we see ourselves in relation to other human beings. It is only as we grasp our relationship to God that our relationship with the rest of creation comes into proper alignment. I don't think we ever really give thought to what does it mean to be created in the likeness and image of God. It means that we are children of God. Amen. It means that we are heirs of God. Amen. It was for us, not angels, that Jesus died. Amen. It was God's special love for us that placed us at the center of God's attention. If we had no other facts, this alone would be sufficient to show us that we are not now, nor ever have been, inferior to the devil. In trying to understand our present relationship to Satan, let us look at what our relationship to him would have been if he had not fallen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. But one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that thou rememberest him? Or the Son of Man, that thou art concerned about him? Thou hast made him for a little while lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor, and hast appointed him over the works of thy hands. Now, if you know about this passage, you know that the writer of Hebrews is quoting Psalms 8. Here's what I found interesting. The word angels in Psalms 8 is translated from the Hebrew word Elohim, which is used to describe the Trinity. So if you look at Psalms 8 verse 5, this passage is saying that man was created just a little lower than the Godhead. That means that Satan has always been inferior to man, will always be inferior to man, and that has a lot to do with why he hates man so violently. You say, yeah, Pastor, but man fell. So did Satan. Hebrews 1:14 tells us about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. What is Lucifer? Lucifer is an angel. What do angels do? Well, here's good news. They don't rule over men. Hello?
Yes.
They don't rule over men. They serve man. Hello?
Yes.
Even at the height of his glory, even if he had never fallen, all he would ever be is a servant. That's what he was created to be. That's what he is. And he'll never be anything more than that. He was created to serve man. Both Satan and man fell. Yes, man, though, has been redeemed.
Hallelujah.
We have been made righteous.
Hallelujah.
Our present position with God is not beneath what Adam had. It is far superior to Adam. We are children of God. We are flesh of his flesh.
Hallelujah.
We are royalty.
Yes.
Satan is forevermore a fallen angel who was created to serve us. He's inferior to you. Get that in your spirit tonight. Get that in your mind tonight. He's inferior to you.
Yes.
He's not over you. Never has been. Never will be. He was created to serve you. Satan has no authority.
Yes.
Amen. You know, I could really get sidetracked. But the capstone of our faith is our resurrection.
Yes, yes.
Jesus was raised up, triumphed over death and hell.
Amen.
He took the keys of death and hell. And now he has all authority. Now let me ask you a question. If he has it all, who else has any? Nobody. He has it all.
Hallelujah.
Satan don't have one iota of authority because Jesus has it all.
Amen.
Are you listening to me tonight?
Yes.
He took the keys of death and hell. That means Satan has no authority, no rights whatsoever. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church. Say, I'm the church. I may just be the feet, but I'm still the body. I'm the church. I'm where he is. He's above principalities. He's above powers. He's above dominions. He's above every name that is named. I am in him and he is in me. Therefore, Satan is under me because I am the body of Christ. Hallelujah. He put all things in subjection under his feet. And gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We're in Christ. So where does that put us? Where he is. Where is he? He's above principalities. He's above powers. He's above dominions. He's above devils. He's above kingdoms. He is all in all. And we are in him. Therefore, we are the body of Christ. And we are over the devil.
Yeah.
Let me go to Colossians. Colossians 3:1. If, good word. If, then, you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking things above.
Yes.
Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Hallelujah.
Set your mind on things above.
Hallelujah.
Not on things that are on earth.
Yes. Amen.
You have died.
Hallelujah.
And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Since we are raised up with Christ, our old sinful man is dead. Since we are hid in Him, that is where our focus, our hearts, our minds, and our thoughts are. See, here's what God wants me to say to you in this series over and over again. And I'm going to say it. You're going to get tired of hearing me say it. But here's what He wants you to see. He wants you to see yourself from a heavenly perspective.
Amen.
Because we are in Christ, we are above Satan. Because we are in Christ,
hallelujah.
Satan is under our feet.
Amen.
He's not above us. He's not more powerful than us. He has no authority over us. He's a zero with absolutely no authority. All authority resides in Christ, and we are in Christ. Therefore, we have authority over the devil. I'm going to close with this. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Having canceled out the certificate of death, consisting of decrees against us, and which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, when He disarmed the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through Him. One translation says, He spoiled principalities and powers.
Hallelujah.
He triumphed over them. He conquered them.
Yes.
He disarmed them. He dismantled their structure. He tore down their kingdom.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In the days ahead, we're going to look at this more closely. Next week, the Lord willing, we're going to look at the fall of Satan. And I'm going to destroy some of the myths that the church has had regarding the fall of Satan. But I want to see you tonight get a hold of this truth that you're in Christ. Christ is in you. His authority is your authority. You're seated with Him in heavenly places. You've got power over Satan and power over the devil. And you don't even have to give Him any recognition whatsoever.
You have been listening to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith. To receive more information about Pastor Gary or Enthroned Life Ministries, please email us at enthronedlife@yahoo.com. We appreciate you spending time with us today, and we hope you will join us again next week. Remember, when you know God, you will love Him, and when you love God, you will serve Him. Until next time.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry, President and Founder of Breakout Ministries, reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday. Here on bpnradio.com, 18 hours of continuous preaching being heard across America and around the globe. Here on your internet prayer station. For a complete listing of all of our preachers each Sunday, go to bpnradio.com. And if you would like to minister every Sunday on Preaching Sunday, you can contact Rick Gentry at rickgentrybpnradio@gmail.com. That's Rick Gentry at bpnradio@gmail.com. Or you can call Rick at 214-918-8707. 214-918-8707. Or if you would like to sponsor one of our young preachers on Preaching Sunday, bpnradio.com, you can call Rick Gentry with the above information. Stay tuned for another sermon here on Preaching Sunday. bpnradio.com.